listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. Up this week, we'll be talking about Hawaii and Southwest jumping into the market just a few weeks ago. Leslie from Trip with Tykes was on one of the first flights and will stop by to tell us what the experience was like. We're hopeful that the Southwest presence in Hawaii will help lower prices, though it hasn't done so just yet. That being said, the 737 MAX grounding may be slowing down the rollout a bit, so we'll certainly cross our fingers and hope for lower prices soon. We've also got some info on a new transfer bonus offer from Chase Ultimate Rewards to an airline program that can help you out both domestically and internationally, something I think you guys are going to want to jump on, especially if you don't travel for a living like I do and need to stretch those points as far as you can. Lastly, if you're into collecting membership rewards points, you'll want to tune into my other podcast, Now Boarding, this week as we discuss a quick way to earn 1,000 membership rewards points fairly easily. 1,000 points isn't going to get you your dream vacation, but again, if you don't earn points and miles by the bucketful, we want to take the easy opportunities we can to increase our balances. If you're enjoying the show, I hope you will share it with a friend, help us grow the audience, and subscribe and rate the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And if you if there's a guest that you'd like to see appear on the show or questions that I can help answer, email me, ed@pizzainmotion.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. With all that housekeeping aside, let's jump into my interview with Leslie talking about Southwest flights to Hawaii. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and one of the biggest announcements for family travel in 2019 was Southwest Airlines finally launching service to Hawaii. And if it's Hawaii and it's Southwest Airlines, it's Leslie from Trips with Tykes. Leslie, thanks for coming back on the show.
Of course, Ed. Thanks for having me.
So I know you stalked Southwest when they were getting ready to launch these flights and ultimately were successful in scoring some flights right out of the gate shortly after they launched. Let's look at this from the standpoint of you certainly had expectations going in. You've flown a bunch of other carriers to Hawaii. This is obviously your first time flying Southwest there. You know, did it meet your expectations?
Definitely. I mean, I had a strong suspicion that it was going to be just like any other Southwest flight that I had taken in terms of its reliable procedures. And it really just was. I mean, it was very seamless. If anybody who's flown Southwest before, the flight's going to look very similar. They do have a couple of little extra Hawaii perks that make it a little bit special. And of course, everybody's excited to be flying to Hawaii. So it makes the mood a little more upbeat. But yeah, it's very predictable. And I would absolutely be flying it again myself.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing. I think especially for family travelers, the predictability, the consistency is a big part of why some family travelers rely heavily on Southwest. They know what to expect. The kids know what to expect. There's not a whole lot of bait and switch, which I imagine has been your experience as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Southwest, I made that my family's airline of choice, I'd say about 5 years ago. And full disclosure, I should mention that Southwest has paid me as an ambassador, and I did pay for this flight by myself on this occasion, but I am paid by Southwest, but I was singing Southwest praises long before they've ever paid me a dime. So I just want to get that out there. But for families, I think that's what people like. I mean, they like that there is that reliable, predictable experience. They know they can get family boarding with their kids if they have kids 6 and under. And be able to sit together, which is very much a question mark on a lot of other airlines. And they know that they're not going to get like dirty looks from flight attendants and other passengers for daring to bring, a toddler aboard a plane.
Yeah, I do think there's a higher level of patience on Southwest flights. So so where did you leave for your recent trip?
So we left out of Oakland. That's about 10 minutes from my house. And for the first couple of weeks, that was actually still right now, as of the time we're recording, that's the only airport they're flying out of in the U.S. San Jose is about to be added. And so we flew out of Oakland, and And then at the time, they were only flying to Honolulu. So that was the only flight that was going. We were on it.
And so how long was that flight for you guys?
So it's a little over 5 hours there. On the way back, if you catch a nice tailwind, we actually made it in 4 hours and 10 minutes, which was ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
So it's a lot faster on the way back if the weather's cooperating. And so it really is the same as flying for flying a cross country Southwest flight, which we will do on occasion. So it was very much that same length of flight.
Yeah. And I think that can be deceiving for folks sometimes because it feels like Hawaii is very far away from the East Coast where I live. And part of why I haven't gone is that it's not because I don't want to go to Hawaii. Summer, if from mommy points, if you're listening, you know, I'm sure that Leslie will make sure to give me a ration of, you know what, for not having been to Hawaii yet. But it's a long trip. And I think if you're a West Coaster, 5 hours, like, that's not easy with kids your age, but it's not impossible.
Yeah. At this point, my kids are now 9 and 5. Oh, 10 and five. I just had a birthday. And so for 5 hours is nothing. I mean, I have family on the East Coast. We have done that since they were babies. And now with a 5 and a 10-year-old, I mean, it kind of doesn't even rate anymore. They just play their devices. And so there is hope on the other side for those of you who are still in the baby toddler phase. But It's very, very doable, even with little ones, even in those tougher stages.
And when you're talking about devices, you know, for folks who are thinking about booking these flights, don't worry. Southwest has not added any power sources on the plane. So you need to make sure you're fully powered before you get on board.
That's right. That's right. We always travel with, you know, a portable charger for our iPhones and iPads, things like that. And the flight isn't so long. My laptop battery did not run out. I use my laptop almost the entire time. So you'll be fine unless you have a really old laptop battery, but you do need to bring those like a portable charger, and you know, you can get them really cheap on Amazon or something like that. Anker or Jackery, one of those brands.
Yeah, Anker is definitely my fave. And for folks that have read my blog and for the post that I still get tons of hate mail about, whatever you do, don't buy the fuel rod batteries at Disney or in the airports. Those things are horrific.
And we have one just for convenience. But yeah, they run out before they like charge your phone a quarter of the way.
Yeah, pretty much. So I know there are going to be a lot of flight options on Southwest as time goes on. But for now, what were your flight times like going to the island and coming back? What time did you leave and arrive and in both directions?
Yes. So our flight out there was an 8 a.m. flight, which is just about perfect since we do live so close to the airport, we had to get up a little bit early. But I mean, Oakland, the airports that Southwest is going to be using are all very easy airports. I mean, I don't arrive at Oakland any more than an hour and a half in advance. I mean, usually for like maybe 45 minutes for shorter flights. But this time we were, of course, checking bags. So we did get there about an hour and a half in advance. So yeah, it's super easy to make that 8 a.m. flight, not get up too early. On the way back, the flight time was actually very perfect. It was 12:55. So we checked out, you know, just before Disney kicked us out of our Aulani room and headed straight for the airport. So the timing was really perfect. But they are flying two flights a day. So there is sort of a later morning, a later option for departing Oakland. And I believe there's an earlier option for departing from Hawaii as well, but I'd have to double check. But I mean, I thought the flight times worked out really well for the time difference and when we wanted to get there.
Yeah. And as a non-Hawaii traveler myself, I don't have that time zone math memorized, but I feel like it's a 3 hour time difference, the 5 hour flight.
It is. It's a 3 hour time difference. This time of year, Hawaii does not do daylight saving time. So it's a 2 hour in the wintertime.
Okay. So with daylight savings time, you're still landing late morning, which gives you, you know, plenty of time to get to your resort and hang out for the day.
Yes. Yeah. We landed before noon. And in fact, we got to our hotel, to Aulani, before check-in time. So we did have to kind of hang out and get lunch and hang out by the pool till the room was ready. But, you know, that's not exactly suffering, right?
Right. All right. So I've heard rumors that there's a couple of small tweaks to the snack boxes or snacks, if you will, on board. What did you guys experience there?
Yes. So instead of when they do that first drink service on Southwest, they hand out these snack boxes instead of handing out the usual pretzels, or sometimes they do like Nabisco individual snacks on other longer flights. So the snack box is only on the Hawaii flights. It has a bag of Wheat Thins, a bag of the usual Southwest pretzels, a unrefrigerated cheese spread that was actually remarkably delicious. sorry, foodies. and some gummy snacks, like they're kind of tropical flavored And then I think some Tic Tacs and a wet wipe. So just to wipe your hands when it's all over. And they do have a couple of special drinks. There's pineapple orange juice, and there's a special Kona beer and a special tropical cocktail, rum-based cocktail as well. So there are a couple little extras that you can get. Of course, the alcoholic drinks, you got to have the drink vouchers or pay for them. But everything else is free, is included.
Yeah, and for a five-hour flight with my kids, that snack box would probably not be enough for them. But given that it's not an international flight, it's easy to bring a couple of snacks on the plane, as long as time allows in the airport.
Yeah. We always pack snacks for my kids because my kids are just picky and may not eat whatever is available on the airline. And we thought it was enough, honestly, for a flight of that length. I mean, of course, we're used to flying Southwest pretty much the same distance towards the East Coast. So this was an upgrade.
Yeah, our kids are grazers, so if they don't have a little something in their belly every 90 minutes, they enter that dangerous state as a child.
Yes, yeah, I know. I'm sure have prepared for that over many, many years. We never fly empty-handed.
Nope, never fly empty-handed. So since you're a veteran of Hawaii travel, and for folks who are looking for more Hawaii stuff, Leslie's been on the podcast a couple of times talking about Hawaii. We've got a segment on her ultimate guide to the Big Island, and we also have a segment on her stay at Aulani recently. How do you compare the Southwest experience to the other airlines that you've flown to and from Hawaii?
So, I mean, very similar. I've flown Hawaiian and Alaska both fly out of Oakland, and I've flown them regularly. And then United is the big carrier out of SFO that I fly most regularly to Hawaii. And occasionally Hawaiian will fly a bigger plane, but I'm usually flying a 737 already. So flying, Southwest and flying a 737, it feels the same. You got one aisle, it feels tight. Occasionally Hawaiian and United will have the bigger planes, and it feels a little bit more like an international kind of style experience. But in terms of the amenities, I mean, it's still a short domestic trip on most of these airlines. You're not getting, a lot of the specialty stuff. And Southwest does have plenty of entertainment, streaming entertainment for free. The movies are free to your own devices. They have Wi-Fi that actually worked pretty well for me over the Pacific. Both Alaska and Hawaiian do not. So I'm usually used to being off the grid when I fly to Hawaii. So it was really exciting to be able to use the Wi-Fi this time.
Yeah, I remember that they were going to have Wi-Fi. The one thing I don't recall, do you happen to remember, do they charge the same, I think it's $8 a segment that they normally charge for all the other domestic flights?
Yes, same charge. And, I think still usual caveats, like things can cut out and be sure to back things up. But it worked well for me both ways, actually even better than my usual Southwest flight experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Southwest's Wi-Fi is priced incredibly reasonable, and certainly from a reliability standpoint, definitely exceeds some of the other carriers out there by leaps and bounds. And when you talk about seat selection, I think probably the only thing I would say for folks who are thinking about whether they want to book Southwest or not is I think Southwest has a nice roomy economy class product. Probably I would say off the top of my head, pretty similar to Hawaiian and Alaska in terms of seat pitch, the amount of space between each seat. Some of those other carriers will offer, whether it's United's Economy Plus or I think Hawaiian calls it Extra Comfort, there are the opportunities to buy up to seats with a little bit more space. In Southwest, you've really got the exit row, and you're gonna roll into that if you have either status or if you purchase an early spot for boarding.
Right. No, I always find they fly the 737-800s, which or the longer version for folks who haven't flown all the various 737s. And it is plenty spacious to me. I mean, I certainly find the legroom more than ample compared to the other carriers that I'm used to flying on the same plane type. So that I should add is if I've never seen a family boarding line longer than I did on this trip.
Yeah.
Because every family and their is going to Hawaii especially for spring break, which is when we flew. So you really do want to get, if there's ever a time to pay for early bird if you don't have family boarding, if you have older kids or you're flying without your kids, if there's ever a time to pay for early bird, this might be the flight to do it, because there are going to be so many families boarding that people in the B group are going to have fewer choices of seats than they are usually do on Southwest. So maybe if you got that Southwest priority card and can do those, you know, really upgraded boardings, this might be a time to splurge on that if you don't get your A group. But that was the one piece of advice takeaway that I would have for people who don't have my situation, which is that I always get family boarding.
Yeah, it's funny because I was going to mention that myself about this is an opportunity, and I'm not a big credit card pusher, nor are you, I don't think. So it's just one of those general things about, you know, this could be a good use of that benefit. There's a Southwest credit card, as Leslie said, that comes with a certain number of purchased priority boarding slots. Though the only thing I vaguely remember is there just have to be enough slots available to purchase on the day of travel. I don't think you can use them ahead of time.
Right.
So just buyer beware on that in terms of, I think it's a great use of that amenity on that credit card. Just if it's hugely important to you, you may end up not being able to use it.
No, that's fair. I mean, I think a lot of people will be using it on a flight just like that. But I guess the other side of the coin is because there are so many families. When those families do board, they're taking, you know, whole sections of three.
Right.
They're not, you know, middle seats are being filled by those families. So we didn't see a crunch really for seats, but I was kind of expecting one.
Yeah. So lastly, let's talk a little bit about price. As we were preparing for the segment, I did a little bit of searching on Southwest's website, and I'll admit, there certainly is this reputation that Southwest is the low-cost carrier and they're always the lowest cost. And I think that's a great reputation that they have. It doesn't always ring true. There certainly are plenty of markets where they charge the same as everyone else, and sometimes they're more expensive. The initial flights that were announced were sub-$100 one-way flights, which were great fares. When I looked at summertime Oakland to Honolulu, I wasn't surprised to see $300, $350, $400 one ways. I was surprised to see some $600 one ways.
Yeah, no, I think this may be a function of supply and demand at this stage in the game. Especially people have been anticipating these flights for a year and a half and saving up their points. And I think there may just be more demand than there is supply yet, because of course, only a couple of routes are going to be flying this summer, as far as we know, unless they announce more capacity, more airports being added at some point. But yeah, I mean, the initial prices were a steal. I got $79 one way and $99 on the way back. And
that's awesome.
I don't think those are going to be returning, certainly not during the summer family travel season, but certainly not during Thanksgiving or Christmas. But there may be some sweet spots, especially for folks who can go in, like, say, September, October. So you just kind of have to watch. But I think this may be a function of just the pent up demand that has been there for as everybody waits for these flights to be added. And I do think this will settle out. And of course, I think other fares are going to drop as well, which is the fare wars that are going to happen with all these airlines. They're just being more capacity to Hawaii.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And I think you bring up a good point about folks who have been saving their Southwest points for a dream vacation. And so because the points reservations, points awards are tied to the cash price of tickets, Southwest is at least a bit agnostic to whether you're buying an award ticket or a cash ticket. And so, you know, seeing some of those $600 one-way fares, people are willing to redeem their points for those, and those flights are that full. As you say, like, that'll work itself out as the point balances go away. And looking at the calendar, October is when things start to soften a bit. Even in September, there's still a bunch of days where $600 is the lowest one-way fare, $599 as it were. But the fares dip under $200 one way in October. So as Leslie said, if you've got a little bit of flexibility with your schedule, there will be deals to be had. What I think will be interesting is to keep an eye on how Southwest prices their flights when the other big carriers put Hawaii on sale, which happens frequently throughout the year.
Right, very much so. So I think everything's going to be very much in flux until we get through 2019, and then we'll start to see more patterns emerge once we've, and everybody doesn't know what else Southwest is going to be adding in these coming months. I mean, I think the grounding of the MAXs has put a strain on the entire fleet at Southwest, and I suspect, but I have no inside information, that may slow the rollout to other cities a little bit more than everybody was hoping for. But, I hope I'm proven wrong, because I want to go to Hawaii to other destinations other than Honolulu and Maui as soon as possible.
Yeah, I would imagine that you're right, and we're still in limbo as far as it comes to when the Max will fly again. But it will fly, and it will fly a lot to Hawaii for Southwest. It's the aircraft that they're banking on for expansion of service to places like Hawaii. Well, Leslie, thanks a ton for being on and helping folks understand what they can expect when they're hopping on a Southwest flight to Hawaii. When you're not heading off to places that I still haven't been yet, tell folks where they can find you.
Sure. I am at Trips with Tykes all over social media. And my blog is tripswithtykes.com. And of course, I also have a podcast with Joe Chung, DisneyDeciphered.com, where we do a lot of Disney World travel for folks who are interested in that sort of thing.
And if you are interested in that sort of thing, it's a great evergreen podcast. Their episodes are short, sweet, and to the point, well-titled. Each one covers a specific subject. So if you're trying to plan that next Disney trip, tons of great stuff there. Leslie, can't wait to have you back on again. Until then, safe travels.
Thanks so much, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Jen from Deals We Like. And when we're talking about deals, we try to focus on things that help out either single or family travelers who don't travel for a living. So ways to maximize either your earning of points or your redeeming. And you know, Jen and I were talking about things that we could bring to your guys' attention this week. She had the perfect idea, which is a transfer bonus that comes up periodically from Chase to British Airways. Hey, Jen, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely glad to have you back on, especially when we're talking about maximizing folks' miles. I guess when you think about this promo, first off, how much is the transfer bonus right now between Chase Ultimate Rewards and British Airways?
Yeah, so right now, Chase is actually offering, this is the first time they've ever done this, not just with British Airways, but with any partner. So it's usually American Express that offers these transfer bonuses. And for Ultimate Rewards, it's always been a one-to-one ratio with all the partners, no transfer bonuses. And right now it's a 30% transfer bonus specifically to British Airways, which is pretty cool. It's really exciting, I think.
Yeah, no, I like it. And as you said, American Express has done this off and on for a while, but it's not something that Chase normally plays with.
Right. Yeah. So hopefully this is maybe a new trend we're seeing. I don't know. I'm hoping.
Well, I did see something pop up earlier in the day yesterday where BA is also testing allowing people to pay the fuel surcharges on their award tickets using points as well. So
yeah.
It's possible they're just trying to sample different channels to get people more engaged with their currency.
Right. And I did read that it's actually BA that's giving the bonus, not Chase. So, you know, maybe BA's trying to do some cool things here.
Yeah, unclear whether on this one too. I'm not sure whether this is a Chase thing or a BA thing. If BA is giving Chase a discount, or if they teamed up on it, or they're splitting the difference. But it's good for consumers, and it's what, a 30% bonus.
30% bonus, and BA is one of the better transfer options to begin with. So getting your normal 1-to-1 ratio, then your additional 30% bonus on top of that with no cap is pretty awesome. Especially when this is kind of the next step is BA also partners with Aer Lingus and Iberia. So even though it's not a 30% bonus directly to those two partners, you can actually transfer your bonus to BA and then transfer those BA miles to Aer Lingus or Iberia if you would actually prefer to use your miles that way, since they all kind of work together but have different war charts.
Yeah, and you know, one of the other good uses of BA, Avios is what they call their currency. They're not points, they're Avios. I actually have a reminder set that I need to look today. I've got a short flight in the U.S., and while there's a nonstop route on United back to where I need to come from in Alabama to my home airport of Dulles, it's also something that American serves out of National, which is, you know, further away for me but still accessible. And British Airways can sometimes have some really great deals on distance-based awards, which work out well in the U.S. So, you know, I had my reminder. It's actually sitting on my computer screen as we're podcasting right now. And so I might be hitting up that 30% bonus myself if I can find those flights I need back from Alabama.
That's awesome. Yeah. To get those like low discount, the 7,500 point miles within the U.S. is pretty key. And especially sometimes, you know, if you're in Miami or some other places within the Southeast that flies to the Caribbean, you can fly to the Caribbean a lot for those 7,500 miles.
Yeah. And for me, like in the opportunity that I'm looking at, it's going to cost me, I think the cheapest one way I had found was 20,000 United miles. And I don't love it, but the cash fares are pretty expensive. And so I have to go, you know, take another look through it. I booked something as a placeholder because as a 1K, I know I can cancel it. But, you know, paying 7,500 Avios versus 20,000 United miles would definitely be a win for me. And, you know, that's where I think this comes into play for families and being able to stretch out a family vacation, especially as Jen said, if you live on the East Coast or you're trying to commute between two cities that aren't that far apart, you know, British Airways can be not only a great way to get to Europe, but a really great way to get cheap flights around the U.S.
Right. Yeah. So I can't remember if you just mentioned this, but for those who only think of BA as an international airline, they partner with American. So you can fly domestically, you know, on American. They also partner with, I believe, Alaskan Airlines. So anywhere that Alaskan goes. And then throughout Europe, you know, even Australia, there's some good usages. And some of those are only 4,500 points of those short tickets that would have otherwise cost, you know, a decent amount, or maybe you'd have to fly a low carrier within Europe instead to find that cheap fare. So it's a really good opportunity, regardless of the 30% bonus. But this is just a added bonus.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, from a useful standpoint, I definitely wouldn't transfer points just to transfer them. I would say, you know, you want to have a purpose. Maybe you're not ready to book right now, but that you're a high likelihood you're going to book. You know, the one thing I would say I don't like using British Airways Avios for is to book coach awards to Europe on them, because the premiums that they charge for fuel, what they call a fuel surcharge or a carrier imposed surcharge, generally make it a pretty bad use of miles for economy tickets. For business class or for first class, you know, definitely tons of value there. But I think I'd say after business class or first class on BA, the next most valuable thing I'd want to use Avios for would be those domestic awards in the U.S. And then probably, you know, almost on par with that would be, as you said, using either Aer Lingus or Iberia as partners of British Airways as well for your Avios. So,
right. Yeah. Fly to, you know, Madrid or Barcelona on Iberia. Those are really low redemption awards, low fuel surcharges. I think the non-stop flights are from Boston, New York, Chicago, maybe. So those are some really good opportunities, too.
Yeah, and Aer Lingus, I think the thing I like about Aer Lingus is Dublin's a fairly easy airport to transit as well, and definitely significantly easier than Heathrow. So I think if you're considering using your Chase Ultimate Rewards to get to Europe, don't think of British Airways as the airline. Think of them as a program that can help you fly in a number of different ways.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this promotion goes for another 2 months, so no need to speculatively transfer. I personally never speculatively transfer points. I just don't love doing that. You never know what happens to programs. But since you have 2 months to kind of figure out if this will work, that's great. It's not one of those flash sales where you need to, you know, act now and the points transfer immediately. So if you find fares available on BA, you can immediately go ahead, transfer your points, refresh your BA account, and you should see the points there momentarily. So that's a good opportunity.
For sure. Well, Jen, thanks a bunch for coming on. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com, and then via any social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anything at dealswelike.
Safe travels, Jen. We'll have you back on again soon. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. And I really do love that Chase bonus offer to British Airways. I've got two trips that I'm contemplating coming up, one in the domestic U.S. and one to Europe, that I think that bonus could come in very, very handy in terms of stretching out my ultimate reward. So I'll be spending the next couple of weeks taking a deeper look at that, and I think you guys should too. But today's final two pennies is about something crazy that my family did last week, and the hopes that maybe you'll take a moment, if you haven't already, to contribute and support our efforts. We recently lost another really good friend to cancer, one of many, too many, in fact. And so my family on our spring break vacation decided that they wanted to do something sort of fun and crazy, as their dad is known to do from time to time. So the family got together, and we started at about 5:30 in the morning, and we rode every ride at the Magic Kingdom at Disney World. Started, as I said, before the sun came up, and we left the park a bit after 11 o'clock at night with two tired but happy kids. And we've already raised a few thousand dollars for charity and would love to raise a bit more. We're raising for an organization called Pelotonia that funds life-saving cancer research and does some really, really great work out of Columbus, Ohio. You can check out the post on my blog. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. Even if you only have a couple of extra dollars, we'd really love it if you'd support us on this ever important cause. Thanks to all the folks that already supported the drive. I am, as always, humbled when these things come up. I love helping others, and that includes raising money for great causes, but it's always a bit of a shock to me to see how many of you come out to support those things, and I really do love it. Can't say again how much I appreciate it. Thanks again for listening this week. Big thanks to Leslie and Jen for helping me put together a great show. We've got another segment with Leslie coming up soon. Jen's going to be back to talk about a credit card offer that's going away soon that you might want to jump on. And my good buddy Summer will be back on to talk about her dip into the worlds of cruising. So stay tuned for all of those. That's a full wrap this week. Until next week, we've got miles to go.